Thank you for listening in from wherever you are. My name is Miranda, and I'm joined here today with
Sydney,
Jamie,
Madeline,
Nikki,
Andrea.
We're excited for you to hear our newest podcast, Anti-COVID Vaccination Through a Historical Lens. What we're going to be doing today is tracking the anti-vaccination movement through history and connecting it to modern-day perspectives on the COVID-19 vaccine. First, Jamie and Madeline will be discussing vaccine development and why the clinical trials for the COVID-19 vaccine were able to be so speedy. Next, Nikki will talk about how politics comes into play with the COVID-19 vaccine, with many different conspiracy theories about the vaccine circulating among the public. I'll then have Sydney tell you and me about the influence of medical racism on anti-vaccination sentiments. And finally, Rhea will wrap things up by answering the question, what can be done? I know that sounds like a lot, but I promise you, we will make sure to walk you through this information as best as we can so you come out of the other end knowing a little bit more than you know now. If you or someone you know has ever thought that vaccine development was rushed, that the vaccine was a conspiracy theory instigated by the government, or that the vaccine just isn't safe for you because of your skin color, then I encourage you to join us in our discussion of these topics. Now that you've got a good idea of what's going on today, let's get started. Up first are Jamie and Madeline, who are going to give us some information on the clinical trials for the COVID-19 vaccine.
New vaccine against coronavirus.
And it's incredible how quickly this vaccine and others have been developed.
This was done in record time.
This is extraordinary. This is the fastest
vaccine development in U.S. history.
Thanks for the introduction, Miranda. I'm going to start off by addressing an issue that Mental Health America actually discusses in regards to dealing with COVID-19 vaccine anxiety. As they quote, that many people are concerned about if a vaccine developed in such a short time frame can truly be safe, and without years of trials, it is difficult to predict long-term side effects. And I just want to say that these opinions and worries are all valid. There is a general consensus for the public criticism of how the vaccine release could be considered rushed since vaccines have been rolling out so quickly. But the rate at which science progressed is just unbelievable, and people didn't think it was safe because nothing like this has ever been done before. Whereas the public, as they believe that the clinical trials were just essentially blinded by scientists because of their eagerness to return to normal life. They argue that there was no scientific evidence on the clinical effectiveness of the vaccines, and they even worried about how clinical trial data could be skewed. So, to the public, the safety and efficacy of the vaccine was overlooked, and they also did not take marginalized communities into consideration.
Thank you, Jamie. It is true that the COVID mRNA vaccine was developed in a very short amount of time. In fact, this is the quickest development of a vaccine in history. However, it is important to note that one of the main obstacles in drug development is funding. Traditionally, vaccines are expensive to make and require years of planning in order to receive full funding. However, wealthy governments, companies, and individuals donated significant amount of funding for vaccine development at the start of the pandemic. Another reason for the quick development is the science behind the vaccine. The COVID vaccines with the most widespread use have been developed by Moderna and Pfizer. Both of these are mRNA vaccines. This type of vaccine uses messenger RNA that encodes for a viral protein rather than using viral proteins or live viruses themselves. The cells of people who receive the vaccine will create the COVID spike protein for a short period of time. This activates their immune system and allows it to recognize the spike and create antibodies against it. This will prevent a serious reaction should they get infected with COVID. mRNA vaccines are considered safe and effective. The technology to make mRNA vaccines was developed during the last decade and has proven to be safe in clinical studies. Let's hear what Dr. Shane Crotty, a researcher at La Jolla Institute of Immunology, has to say about the safety of the mRNA vaccine.
And yeah, I certainly get questions about safety, which are reasonable questions to ask because of the speed. So there are two parts of it. One is you would be really hard-pressed to find any medicine that has had this much safety data already by the time it becomes publicly available. Again, 70,000 people have already gotten the vaccine and been tracked for safety. That's a huge amount of safety data, way more than most medicines get when they come to market. And the reason for accumulating all that was actually because of speed. To find results quick enough, they had to have a huge number of people involved in the study.
The development of mRNA vaccines is relatively straightforward, which allowed researchers to create a COVID vaccine in a short period of time. The COVID vaccines were completed in summer and were then put through extensive clinical trials for 5 months in order to ensure their safety.
Thanks for touching up on the science of mRNA vaccines, Madeline. It blows my mind how technology can be so groundbreaking at a time like this. Taking a short trip back in history, we can see that as widespread smallpox vaccination was idealized in the early 1800s from Edward Jenner's cowpox experiments, many people were also suspicious of the vaccine's efficacy. They basically had a general distrust in medicine and new idea about how disease spread. So the DTP vaccine, which is the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccine, pretty much sparked another anti-vax movement as an outspoken physician mistakenly linked neurological disorders to the DTP vaccine, which of course was not good. In response to this linkage, it was later scientifically proven that there was a lack of evidence in creating this linkage between DTP immunization and neurological disorder. So I think this is really important to take into account because while this historical association between neurological disorders and DTP no longer persisted, publicizing this idea pretty much just led to an overall controversy on how safe is public immunization. It is important to note that we are currently living in a different period of time where we have a better understanding of science than we did before. We're no longer living in a time of history where we're just exploring the concepts of antibodies and antigens, but rather we do have a basic understanding of how our immune systems respond and react to vaccines. So maybe this is something that our current society is having a difficult time to process, which is why vaccine hesitancy is becoming so prominent. But I think it's important that we understand that we are caught up in a lot of stories from history that have made a lot of progress.
From a scientific point of view, we definitely have a better understanding of immunity and also infection. During the 1918 influenza pandemic, scientists understood that face masks limited the spread of respiratory disease and mask mandates were enforced in large cities. However, many citizens resisted these orders and pressured local city governments into reversing mask mandates. The cities that did so inevitably saw a rise in cases. This historical case shows us how political factors can be considered more important than scientific rationale in combating disease. Let's continue our discussion about the history of anti-vaccination with Nikki, who's going to tell us about political conspiracy theories centering around the COVID-19 vaccine.
A vaccine may be with us, but it comes with a flare-up in the age-old struggle with anti-vaxxers, whose damaging narratives appear to be growing in strength.
No vaccine's ever been proven safe, and no vaccine's ever been proven effective.
We know that's not true.
Please allow me to answer
millions
the question.
And millions of lives have been saved by vaccines.
Simply
they're some of the
true.
Safest medicines ever invented. That's just nonsense.
Okay, so let's talk about the conspiracy theories related to the COVID-19 vaccine and the main concerns anti-vaxxers have. So the group that most of these concerns stem from is known as the Freedom Angels Foundation. This is an organization of people who are located mostly in California. They're also best known for their opposition to state efforts in mandating vaccinations. The influence of the Freedom Angels Foundation has rapidly grown, so it's becoming increasingly important to understand their way of thinking. So what are their conspiracies regarding COVID? Well, in an interview, a co-founder of the Freedom Angels Foundation named Tara Thornton touched on the idea that she is not surprised that her foundation has found allies in the business community and efforts to not shut down local businesses and also to not follow stay-at-home orders. Why might they be resisting these government efforts? Well, Thornton claims that the PCR tests, which are used to diagnose COVID-19, are inaccurate and not capable of detecting the infection. She and other members of the Freedom Angels Foundation have also publicly spoken and on social media, repeating their larger debunked medical theories, including how they believe the virus is no worse than the flu. And in order to spread their beliefs to other people, they have stormed local government meetings without wearing a mask. From this, we can see that not only are the people from this organization not being compliant with the coronavirus public health measures, but they're also spreading their beliefs of the pandemic to other people. The conspiracies regarding COVID and vaccinations are further expressed by another co-founder of the organization, Denise Aguilar. Aguilar, who lives in Stockton, says she views lockdown rules like vaccine requirements as unwarranted government intrusions, claiming it's always the same thing, it's always an overreach. From these interviews, we can see that both Thornton and Aguilar said they were opposed to COVID-19 vaccines, and they also expect their group members to reach out against vaccinations in the coming months. They predict more widespread support from their foundation as more vaccines are being distributed. Okay, now let's talk about how these concerns compare to historical anti-vax beliefs. So the beliefs today are partially similar to those beliefs that occurred throughout history, but most of the beliefs today stem from the lack of trust within our government, where people believe that our government is exaggerating the seriousness of the pandemic. Due to this lack of trust and faith people have within our government, lots of rebelling occurs as a result, and people not only don't want to get the vaccine, but they also don't want to follow the health officials' orders of wearing a mask and staying at home and so on. So the beliefs of anti-vax people throughout history were more concerned with whether or not the vaccine was effective and safe, since during these times there was a lot less scientific data and evidence to prove the effectiveness and the safety of the vaccinations. But today, since we have a lot of that scientific evidence and data, people are more willing to take the vaccine. Instead, a lot of the concerns that anti-vax people have today largely stem from conspiracy theories, and they believe that COVID and the vaccine are being exaggerated in terms of the seriousness. This all stems from the lack of faith and trust within political and governmental officials. Now that we've talked about the conspiracy theories related to the COVID-19 vaccine, and although conspiracy theories are, well, conspiracies, there are also many real-world issues that anti-vaxxers hold. Next up, Sydney is going to discuss how the history of medical racism aligns with present-day anti-vaccination beliefs.
African Americans remained more hesitant than any other racial group about a vaccine.
The fear behind a trial was palpable.
As African Americans, we haven't had the best experiences.
Doctors and scientists using African Americans in studies without their permission, even withholding treatment, as well as ongoing disparities in access to care.
Hi, it's Sydney here. I'm joined today with Miranda. Thank you so much for joining me, Miranda.
Hey, Sydney. It's great to be here.
So what brings you here today?
Well, I, along with our listener here, am looking to learn more about how medical racism is relevant to the COVID-19 vaccine. I heard that you know a little bit about this topic. Do you mind if I ask you some questions so you could tell us what you know?
Of course. Ask away.
So I understand that some communities of color are wary to get the vaccine. Do you know where this fear came from?
Yes. One reason for this fear is racial bias among medical providers. There was a study done in 2015 which used something called the implicit association test to measure implicit bias. This is a computerized test where the participants will sort different stimuli that appear on the screen into opposing categories as fast as they can. In almost all of the results, there were consistent levels of low to moderate implicit racial and ethnic bias found among healthcare professionals. This held true even if the provider's explicit attitudes did show intent to provide equitable care. So this study really showed scientific evidence of racial bias that exists in the medical community. So the effects of these biases are that it poorly affects patient and provider interactions, and it also causes less accurate treatment decisions. On top of this, these implicit biases have been shown to increase under stress, time pressure, and overcrowding, all of which have been brought on by COVID-19. So essentially, medical providers, it's very common that they hold racial biases. It makes Black and Brown patients suffer from bad healthcare experiences, and this has perpetuated a lack of trust. Another reason for this fear of the vaccine is the large history of exploitation and medical racism that has occurred in the name of the advancement of science. A major example of this, which is commonly cited, is the Tuskegee Syphilis Study, which tested syphilis treatments on Black men. However, the study did not have informed consent. The participants were not given an option to quit the study, and the participants were never given adequate treatment for the disease, even when penicillin became the effective drug of choice. Other examples of this exploitation include Warm Springs, which was a polio rehabilitation center which only served white patients, the eugenics movement, the Gila Locks incident, and there are many others like these. Together, all of this suggests a concerning indifference to the lives of Black Americans, a willingness to exclude them from various healthcare advances.
Wow, that's a really deep, deep history. So how does all of this relate to COVID-19?
Essentially, the combination of all these experiences have given a message to Black and Brown people that their bodies and their livelihood will not be protected in the medical system. So it's only valid that they would be skeptical and fearful of the vaccine and question scientists' motives. This fear has been exacerbated by the inequity that already characterizes the incidence and death rates of the pandemic, and just the chaotic and confusing messaging that has come from the media. And so we can actually see this fear playing out in COVID-19 vaccine trials and varying polls regarding vaccine opinions. There was one COVID-19 vaccine trial where 350,000 people registered, but only 10% were Black or Latinx. In addition, there was a poll that showed that only 42% of Black Americans said they would consider taking the vaccine, compared to 63% of Hispanic and 61% of white adults. Another poll showed that only 14% of Black Americans have trust in the safety of the COVID vaccine, and only 18% would trust the COVID vaccine's effectiveness.
Oh, wow, that is a lot of people. But haven't Black and Brown people also been disproportionately affected by COVID-19?
Yes, that is why the mistrust of the vaccine, while completely valid, is so concerning. I do have a quote here from Mr. Habrowski, who was a Black individual that participated in a phase 3 clinical trial for the Moderna vaccine. He said, quote,
"But we must believe in the science in spite of the challenge of our history and the way we've been treated. The reason I say that is, what choice do we have? Disproportionately large numbers of Blacks are contracting the disease and are dying. It helps for people to know that there have been people of different backgrounds, different racial backgrounds, in the development of the vaccine."
So we can see here that Mr. Habrowski understands the viewpoints held by many others in his community. While he completely understands the mistrust of the vaccine, he also recognizes that getting this vaccine may be the only chance for these individuals to recover from the disproportionate and unjust COVID-19 death rates among them. One way he recommends to overcome this mistrust is showing that Black and Brown communities have in fact been considered and included in the development of the vaccine, and that it is trying to be culturally sensitive.
Wow, we've learned so much in such a short amount of time. Thank you for your insight, Sydney.
No problem. So now I am going to hand it over to Rhea to wrap up our discussion and to talk about some potential ways to move forward from the anti-vaccination movement.
Wow, that was extremely eye-opening and informative. Did you know that according to the WHO, the anti-vax movement is one of the top 10 health concerns for the entire world? To combat this grave issue, let's start by making sure that we are not spreading or supporting fake news. We should not blindly trust any and all information that comes our way, especially if it is via social media, because the power of social media is quite often misused. According to a study performed at Arizona State University, it was found that people are more likely to take a vaccine when physicians focus on promoting personal benefits about vaccinations rather than emphasizing the collective good. Another study done at Brigham Young University made vaccine-hesitant students interview people who had vaccine-preventable diseases like polio, after which 70% became pro-vaccine. This shows that by targeting a particular audience and having correct information reach them via a trusted source, we can bring about a change. During an interview with The Atlantic, an anti-vaxxer said that if vaccine development and science in general became apolitical and unbiased, he would consider getting vaccinated. So we believe that with systematic efforts directed towards the anti-vax movement, we can make a difference. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, and we hope you got something out of it. Bye-bye and take care.